This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Going Global on Enterprise. I'm Tasha Fusil. Mobile applications have firmly taken place as the primary way in which we communicate, shop, exercise, play, and even work. With apps getting more intelligent and sophisticated by the day, the market is only getting bigger. So on Going Global, we'll be looking at some of the apps that are vying for their piece of the $25 billion pie, starting with ASAP54. Described as the Shazam equivalent for all your fashion searching needs, ASAP54 uses the latest visual search technology to create the ultimate shopping experience. I speak to the founder, Daniela Cecilio, to find out how the idea for ASAP54 first came about.
So I think the idea came from my frustration as a consumer. Very often I was on Pinterest, on Instagram, also someone wearing something on the streets or in a magazine, but there was no mention where it was from, where I could find or how to shop online. And actually, to describe an image in words is extremely hard. And then even if you look at the search engines available, you have Google mainly, but Google will, even if you Google something by keyword, it won't be leading you to shopping. It will be leading you to content that also, I mean, there's some shopping elements within it as well, but will be leading you to content related to that keyword search. So my frustration actually became an idea, and I thought, I want to make the whole world shoppable. Everything that you see, that you search, that you look, that you get inspired by, can now be shopped with one click away. That's pretty much where the idea came from.
Okay. Well, talk to me about that process. Do you have any experience or do you come from a background in tech?
No, I actually come from fashion, founding team of Farfetch.com. So I've actually pretty much helped in operations and everything else. But that's pretty much where I gained my tech understanding. I would say I have a good understanding of technology and how it can be applied and also its limitations. But I'm also a consumer and a user of my own product. So I think the combination of both makes it very easy for me to manage the tech team because I can describe the scenario of a user, but I can also argue how possible it is and try to help them to find creative solutions. In a nutshell, I mean, if anything, the fact that I don't come from the tech industry or I'm not a developer myself or PhD in image recognition, it only plays in my favor because I'm not insisting in technology alone to solve the problem.
What was that development process like? Were there many different versions of the app that you went through before you arrived at the final product?
Yes, and I mean, we're actually releasing new versions on a monthly basis. So probably we've had so far over 18 versions, if not more. And then, I mean, before we launched, we probably had 3 or 4 views. We put that to be tested by 300 fashion influencers. And then once we got everyone's feedback, we changed it slightly, we shifted some things, and then we put the very first version in the market.
Okay, so you tweaked it based on what customers or users, the feedback that you were getting.
Yeah, first of all, we tweaked based on feedback. So we've asked all this kind of 300 pioneers that tested the app to submit a feedback on what they liked, what they didn't, and to rate the features as well. And we actually learned that some of them really liked the social, and the social by that point wasn't playing a very big role. So therefore, we made the social more prominent. And then now, the refinement only comes from actually data that we gather by seeing how the users interact, how the users use the app, and that's pretty much how we've been shifting and changing the app as we go.
Tell me a little bit more about the technology behind the app.
So we use image recognition for the image search. So what image recognition really does is pretty much break the images into pixels and understand those pixels, comparing, you know, into color, texture, how it works. The user will take a picture, and then against all the catalog of products we have nearly 5 million products in our back office. We'll try to compare this image color and texture-wise with the most similar that we have. There is a scoring system behind, and then they will give it scores to the items that we have in our back office in comparison to the one the user have uploaded. So that's pretty much the first technology. The second technology that we work is keyword search. So we then work on the metadata provided by the retailers that we partner with. So for the keyword search, we look into the metadata, we try to stabilize this metadata, we try to clean this metadata, but we also use our image recognition technology to extract some metadata that is not available or provided by the retailer, such as a specific shade of the color, a specific textures. Let's say aquamarine is not very often a color that is described on an item. It will either be described as green or blue. But if a user types aquamarine dresses, nothing will come as a result. But what we do to go and overcome this problem is we go and then we apply image cognition on the top of this metadata provided, and then we can gather the specific shade of the color and therefore feedback aquamarine dresses to the users regardless if aquamarine is on a description of the item or not. And then on the social, it's pretty much a fully working social platform. So everything that you search for will be fed into your feed. Your Facebook friends will see, they can connect with you. You can invite people on by SMS, and then, but you can also follow celebrities or people that you admire. And the main difference is everything that you see as the results, you can click and you can shop. So it's not like Instagram or Pinterest that you can only pin or like. Everything that is displayed can be shopped.
So the 5 million, that 5 million large catalog that you have, it's all images from merchants that you are partnered with, is that right?
Yes, exactly. So everything, so we partner from Farfetch, Net-a-Porter, H&M. So there's a big variety. We go from high street to high end, and then we cover very big countries as well. So we go from US, UK, we have some Hong Kong based, we have Brazil, we have France. And the majority of the players deliver globally. And yes, and then the feed and the product come from them.
Tell me also about the other services that you offer, the dedicated stylist. What's that about and how many users actually utilize this service?
Yeah, so, I mean, we did offer the personal styling at the beginning. This is something we actually have just stopped for the time being, only because we were trying to understand the engagement of the users and then what type of users were using it. And we're looking into slightly shifting this to become more a crowdsourcing thing where our engaged users can help others instead of actually doing ourselves. But it's just a temporary stop. We might come back with it very soon. Probably 10% of our users use the functionality. We thought the people would be using the technology to try to find exactly the same item. But what we saw was that most of the time they were actually using the stylist to try to find something that was either impossible to be found, like something vintage or something that could only be shopped offline. And therefore, it was very hard for us to fulfill the user needs. And that's the reason we decided to understand a little bit better, pause for a while, and then put it back live once we can deliver the user's expectations.
Yeah, and is that an issue, you know, with managing your user expectations? Do you get a lot of feedback saying, oh, you know, I'm looking for this specific thing and I'm not able to find it?
Yeah, and it's not just that. It's also, I mean, as technology improves, there was less need for us to actually offer the personal service because technology, the idea in the beginning to actually have this layer was technology will improve with time, and then those personal stylists will write technology when technology doesn't work, and therefore technology will improve and learn with, you know, the human interaction. And we also feel that technology is a lot better now. There's less need of the use of the personal styling. And then also the users need to put it, because we created more filters as well. So if the user takes a picture and then filters the brand, enters a keyword, the likelihood of the user finding exactly the same item gets a lot higher. And therefore, there's less need for the personal styling. So that's pretty much the conclusion we came up. And then the solutions we're trying to go around is actually relying a little bit more on the technology and less on the human resource, because I think that will be more educational for the consumer as well. There's a big disconnection between the technology and user expectation at this point. Mm-hmm. User expectation is, hey, I take a picture and then the app will do everything for me, regardless if my image is good or bad. And as far as technology goes, every technology has its limitations. So if you take Shazam, for instance, you can't sync to Shazam. If there's a lot of background noise, Shazam won't be able to come up with song. And therefore, the same applies to image recognition. So if the image taken is not good enough, there's no way the technology will be, you know, providing something so similar or the same. So we also thought that removing the personal styling would make it that the users would put a little bit more effort into actually finding exactly the same item by themselves instead of relying on a human being.
Daniela Cicelio, the founder of London-based fashion app ASAP54. Stay tuned for more. This is Going Global on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good morning. This is Going Global on Enterprise. I'm Tasha Fusil, and I'm speaking to Daniela Cicelio, the founder of ASAP54, an app that uses visual recognition technology to help users search and shop for items. You snap a picture, and ASAP54 will look through its inventory of 5 million products to find the closest possible match for you to buy online. The app has gained traction all over the world for its convenience and is also bringing together a community of fashionistas who can interact and share their findings. Can you tell us more about ASAP54's customers?
Our biggest market is US. At the beginning, we noticed that 40% of our users were male, and then 60 female, which is not a very normal break. It's mostly 20, 80, or 70, 30.
Yeah.
But now it's more 70, 30, I would say. The users that get very, very engaged are the ones that really get and understand the technology and actually start to using the technology in a very, very creative way. So what they will do, they will actually take a picture of the surrounding, take a picture of a dress and try to find a top to match. So they will just kind of go beyond actually trying to find exactly the same item. And that's pretty much why I really like it, seeing those how creatively people can be when using the technology. There is an architect based in Brazil, and she mainly uses to actually take paintings and try to find what the technology can come up with. But the use of technology, it varies, and that's pretty much what I've seen. The majority of the people they use, that come from a creative world, they will be used very creatively. And it will lead them actually to find something that they would never have found if they were just searching by keyword simply. Because if you really know what you want and you go and type V-neck t-shirt, the likelihood of you getting a different type of t-shirt is non-existing. But if you start browsing by dresses, you might actually even find a designer or a dress that you will have never searched in the first place. So that's why I think the use of the image recognition goes really beyond what users do, but the majority of the users will take a picture of a dress and try to find exactly the same one.
So if you had to pick one aspect of the app, which part of it do you think has really ultimately led to the success of ASAP54?
I think it's a combination of a few elements. A, I think design-wise, the app, the app has a very nice design, it appeals to fashion, and it serves a purpose, and it's also the gamification side of actually, hey, there's testing and using image recognition. The technology behind, I think, is also extremely strong, and then is slightly different, our approach, than the other competitors. But I would say the combination of all those elements, so, you know, amazing design, and then the catalog that we create, and then the partners we work with as well. So I think those elements are the ones that define, you know, the success of ASAP54.
Speaking of competitors, since the inception of ASAP54, have a lot of people tried to replicate what you have done with ASAP54?
I mean, I've seen a few trying to replicate, but others were doing while we were doing it as well. So I think it's a hot topic, and you know when everyone is trying to explore. So I think image recognition has been in the field for a while, for nearly 10 years. Probably who did it 10 years ago was too early in the game. Now it might be even too early in the game as well, because I don't know how users feel to walking around and taking images of stuff in order to shop. However, our competitors, but I think the approach we have in terms of combining all those elements together is unique to us.
What have been some of the struggles that you've had so far?
Oh, many. The founder is normally very emotionally attached to the product, and it can't see its flaws, it can't see the problems.
Right.
So I think the biggest challenge I had was actually hire a team that I can trust, and I can step out of the operation and become more a CEO. So manage the team and then kind of design and define the strategy, but also stick to it. I think the temptation of actually getting involved and doing everything, but also changing the strategy if you don't see the results straight away, are very big. And for them, for me, they have been my biggest two challenges. When you see the scalability of your product, you know that you need to change, you need to trust people, you need to let it go a little bit. I think when you start your business, you're so involved, you're so emotionally involved in the product. It's very hard for you to see its flaws. It's very hard for you to Do you know what I mean? To delegate or let anyone change it or do anything.
What did you do to overcome those two challenges that you had?
I mean, I went after a very, very amazing team that I could trust. I tried to be as busy as possible out of the office so I don't get as involved or I don't know what's going on a daily basis. And we created reports and one-to-one catch-ups and meetings where I can know what's actually going on and what's happening, but I don't need to be involved in the process. So I think communication is the key, and then finding ways to actually be close to your team, and after you can give them top line guidance, because they don't need to be involved in the daily basis.
How do you hope to develop ASAP 54 even further?
So of course, a new countries, new devices. So we launched Android a few months ago. Now we're launching website. Also, we're trying to go deeper into different countries like Japan, so we can have more Japanese partners, probably localized language apps for a few countries only. Also, marketing is a very, very big growth strategy for us. So we hired a growth hacker, a marketeer from Secretscape, and we've been doing a very, very big acquisition campaign in terms of finding users on Facebook. So that's pretty much the biggest challenge for the next 3 months, is actually prove that we can grow and then acquire the right users, but also make sure they are engaged and retained within the app.
That was Daniela Cecilio, founder of the fashion app ASAP54, which is available on iPhone and Android devices. This has been Going Global on Enterprise here at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.